I have fought the good fight, Paul said. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. This man's talking as though this is an accomplishment, because it is. I've fought the good fight. That's what it is. I finished the race, even when tired. I kept the faith. I didn't go anywhere. I may have struggled here and there, but that's where grace abounded. Paul at no time would have told you he was sinless. In fact, as he aged, he said, I'm a bigger sinner now than I was when I started.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today's message is called Attached and Attacked, and Pastor Rick will be teaching through 1 John chapter 2.
They sacrifice to demons. Now Moses knows they don't think they're demons that they're sacrificing to, but he knows they are. And of course we know Moses was politically correct. No lying in the pulpit, brother. No, he was not. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Johnny come latelys. They show up late. They don't know what they're talking about. Don't know what they're doing. They're wrong. They're not time tested. They're not proven. They're not trustworthy. They're not true. And we are against that. And the people who hold those views, we hope to reach. But when we can't, we hope to destroy their influence any chance we get. Just like they're trying to destroy ours, that is called war. Paul says it this way in the New Testament. He says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He's talking to men and women. He's not saying, oh, well, just you women are susceptible like Eve. All of you are susceptible to this. The simplicity that is in Christ. Why are Christians so often trying to paint Christianity to improve it? It doesn't need any improvement. It needs practice. It needs to be put into work. I don't need another chapter of the Bible. I have my hands full with everything I have already. I just need to pull it off to do it. Paul, writing to Timothy, he says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is here. And he continues, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they just got to have something. He says they will pile up for themselves teachers. That's what he says. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. This is what John's dealing with. This is what all of them were dealing with. This is what we deal with. If you're looking for relief from this, it ain't happening here. Not on earth. He continues in verse 27, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Now clearly, well, it should be clearly, he's not prohibiting teaching because that's what he's doing. He should be said, that would be like saying, okay, I'm going to teach you something, but don't listen to me. Since this is exactly what he is doing, instructing them as he has been told by Jesus, we know that there's a deeper meaning to this. And deeper, I don't mean in the sense, well, that's hard. Not in that sense at all. I'll get to that. But Jesus said to his disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's the mandate. Of course, Ephesians 4, he himself gave some to be, and they were teachers, pastor teachers. Not pastors and teachers, though we have other teachers in the children's ministry, for example, but I believe pastors ought to be teachers. Otherwise, what's he doing? Running for office all the time, kissing babies and handing out lollipops or something, trying to get people to like him, find out whose house he can go eat dinner at. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, especially if the food is very good. But I am saying that's never a motivation for a pastor. Pastor goes to people's houses because the Lord tells him to. And he doesn't go to other houses because he's telling them not to. He's being led by the Spirit, and he can do that in different ways, a person's disposition. Some pastors are very people-minded. They can do that. There's no problem for them. They like being around the people. Walked into that one. I don't dislike people. Well, let me rethink. I like them for a period of time, and then I got to go to my corner. It's blanky time or something. I'm good in church for a few hours, but if I had to be with you all for 24 hours, I'd be dead. I can't even get away from me sometimes, but that's another story. So have any of you ever felt that you'd like to get a break from yourself? Yeah, I mean, you do something really dumb. You say, "Oh, why can't I be like Pastor Rick?" Anyway, let's bring this back to what I'm saying. This teaching, John 17, I do not pray for these alone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. How many multitudes are into that? That's us. That's all those between. And so, yeah, we're going to believe because of their word, their teaching. So, of course, he's not prohibiting teaching, proper teaching of the scripture. Or else there would be no such thing as rabbis. And so what is going on here is we do show the way of salvation, but we don't teach that there are deeper things to it that only we have. We do not abuse the teaching by lording over the flock, by pretending to know things that are esoteric. You're not going to find this being preached by the apostles because they've not gone deep enough, which is what the Gnostics were doing. And there were some following this stuff because their ears were tickling. Oh, tell me more. Oh, you mean John doesn't know this? They may not have verbalized it. That might have been too, obvious. They were thinking it, and we still have people. They want knowledge. They want Bible dictionaries and reference books and other books. They want to read so they can know more than other people, not because they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and love people and do the work of the Lord. So what is the motive is always the question when it comes to such things. John chapter 6, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You see this conversion in that. It's about coming to God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to him not because somebody has some tricky little piece of tidbit knowledge that they think is theirs and theirs alone, so you can think more highly of them. John is counter-attacking dependency on human teachers when it comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is fine for a pastor to expound on the scriptures, that which I first received I have delivered to you, to apply the truths from the word. It's something other. When he says, you need to start doing what I tell you to do because I am always right and you're not. Well, Rome does this. If it's not according to the popes and the magisterium, you are wrong. You can't disagree with them. Well, I can. You can too. And so did, those reformers, some of them were brutal in their scathing commentary and attacks on Rome, or Luther being one of them, Knox being others. Those men went willing to die before giving in to such lies out of hell is what they are. And Gnostics wanted to control learning. They wanted to impart some special thing that they picked up on the way out of hell. And these are the Johnny-come-latelys again that were warned, we are warned against in Scripture. So John says, you don't need that junk. You've got the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into truth. You will learn what the truth is if you are sincere. But if you're up to something, it's going to be diminished. Your ability to discern truth from error will be diminished if you're not being straightforward with God about these things. John 16, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Now, here he is saying the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will guide. But he's also saying the Holy Spirit of God is not going to promote himself. He's going to be pointing to Jesus. Well, if the Holy Spirit of God is doing it that way, I better make sure I'm doing it that way too. It would be totally ridiculous to want to speak on our own authority. Imagine a pastor saying, I don't need your prayers. I've got it together. You do. 1 Thessalonians concerning love, to illustrate how this all works, Paul says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. These things are basic to us. And when you come to Christ, you know you have to love other people, even the ones you don't like. And this is supposed to distinguish Christianity from everything else. There is a lot we owe as students of the Word to those who handle the original languages of the Scripture, to those who can chart maps and tell us what destinations are, to those who can just come up with all the detailed information that we use to grow in our own faith. Another pastor and I, we have a trip coming up. We want to go to the United Kingdom. I'm going as his translator, and I'm waiting to say that, and I will use it again. But anyway, it's a sabbatical. We're taking a time off. We want to go to the places where men who have influenced our walk and our teaching came from. We want to see it. We want to be close to it. We want to take a break and recharge and get fresh information and come back with stories we've made up, but we tell you they're true because they make sermons interesting. It's either that or statistics. Which one do you want? 55 out of 60 people recommend fluoride for... Okay, anyway, I have no idea where that came from. And is true and is not a lie. Nothing false about God. He doesn't have to be. God doesn't say, well, I better not tell the truth. They might get mad at me. He doesn't care like that. And so nothing from him is false. John's gospel again, chapter 14, verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So what we have almost in John's letter is John's saying, you know, I covered all this in my gospel. And so he's giving it to us again. Abide in the Lord. You've got the Holy Spirit. What else do you need me to say to you? And just on the authority of who he is, the church should be listening to this and saying, yep, we side with John all the way. Not one of those, well, you know, we don't want it to go to his head and, you know, he get carried away. Just be honest. So if someone said from the pulpit, the Bible is not trustworthy, if one said that Jesus is not all that the apostles said. See, you discern that. You don't need a teacher to come and let me teach you what he's saying. You know what he's saying. You should be getting up and leaving. Or, if you know he's going to do that, you bring tomatoes and eggs. Food fight. No, you don't do that, of course, but it makes a nice picture. I'm sorry, cartoons have influenced me. It's scarred me for life. I see things sometimes in a Bugs Bunny kind of a way. You know, where's the anvil or piano falling from on somebody that I don't care for? And that's the appeal of the cartoons. You can just tell somebody what you really think of them with a baseball bat and not go to jail. Am I the only one that sees it that way? This is when it would be good to be in a Pentecostal church where I could get people saying, amen, brother, amen. Verse 27, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. There's that relationship with God through the Spirit, knowing right from wrong, discerning true from false. And again, John 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. The part that maybe we should walk away with in this moment is neither can you. You can't. You cannot abide with Christ without him. And so a church that doesn't have Christ is not a church. It is not the ecclesia. It is not under the lordship, the kurios, which that word comes from. A church that does not have Christ is demonic. Why don't they just go again, be something else? Because Satan's got big work for them. He loves the imposter. He's one himself. He appears as an angel of life, and he's not. And we know it. The righteous know it by the Spirit of God. That's why what would explain why two people can know the same Bible verse, and one gets it and the other refuses it, because one has a spirit and the other does not. One thief on the cross got it. The other one did not. And this is a principle, and you're not
We are not going to be rid of that principle. It is a good one. And our energies in the faith are not futile. And Satan knows it. He knows it so much, if he finds out you're attached to the vine, he's going to attack you so that you are no longer attached to the vine, because he is afraid of the fruit, the cluster that comes from clinging and climbing. That's the way it is. And I look at my own Christian life and I think of all the troubles and failures, but I also see the victories. And I would be a liar if I said God has not used me. And I know every Christian that is working hard can say that. Our influence on others, is it going to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and the fight in the world, or not? Well, we come to verse 28, and there we read, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." I don't know, when you preach the word of God, should you have a spirit of apology in your tone? No, I think the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow. It cuts deep, but it does not cut recklessly. And so to preach the word, I'm still learning how to do this. I don't want to ever come off as mean-spirited, but I also, towards those who are sincere. But to those who are insincere, I do want to come off as the enemy of their insincerity. I don't mean someone struggling. I mean someone who has decided that they're not going to submit to God's word and the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and yet still want to promote their ideas amongst Christians. What am I supposed to do? Bake them a birthday cake? And I noticed when I used to preach in the workplace, which I think I had the same demeanor as I do now, I noticed eventually that it was very attractive to some, that there were those who were just sick and tired of people tiptoeing around truth, of people that were giving them things about religion but not Christ. And when you passionately share these things and they know that you're going to be square with the four square, you're not going to deceive them, they're attracted to that. We all are. As sinners together, we still want to do our best. We want what God has to offer us when he's working on our hearts. Well, verse 28, where he says, "Now, little children," it's a term of endearment and gentleness. That's why I started down this trail with the demeanor. When the apostles wrote, they wrote hard. And then they put in these little rest pit stops, like here. He's just got through saying anybody who does this is a liar, the truth is not in them. And then he says, "Now, little children," and he just says, hard, spiritual, intellectual, inspirational. These things are part of the faith, being fruitful, our minds on eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I have fought the good fight," Paul said. "I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." This man's talking as though this is an accomplishment, because it is. "I've fought the good fight." That's what it is. "I finished the race, even when tired. I kept the faith. I didn't go anywhere. I may have struggled here and there, but that's where grace abounded." Paul at no time would have told you he was sinless. In fact, as he aged, he said, I'm a bigger sinner now than I was when I started. That was his view of himself. That is the view, I think, of every Christian whose soul is following hard after God. The more we learn about God's righteousness and holiness, the more we see ourselves. And the more we then appreciate his love and grace for us, which can't be turned off. Isaac in the scripture, one of my favorite characters in the book of Genesis is Isaac. He's like an unsung hero. He never comes across as macho, though there's one incident where he certainly had a militant experience. But his meekness and his submission from the earliest time that we come across Isaac, he's a type of Christ in this submission of his. And the story is in Genesis 27. And of course there, he's a lad now. He's not a little boy going up to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed, made a blood sacrifice and burnt offering. That's where that was going with his father. The point is he probably could have taken Abraham out. But he submits. He's obedient to the death. Christ, of course, is the ultimate obedient to the death, obedient to the Father. Philippians chapter 2, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And so Isaac pictures this for us. And we talk about now, little children, abide in him. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We want to be obedient as best we can. And the flesh tears us down, but we get back up and we deal with it. It says at his coming, the appearance of Christ, his presence, that's the Greek, at his presence, the visible presence. The rapture, of course, or death, the rapture, well, at the rapture and during that 7-year period, that's when we will stand before the Bema seat, the judgment seat, to receive our rewards and maybe some form of rebuke. I don't know how that all works out because there's no more pain, remember? Sure, let me have it. I'm going to be thinking, okay, Lord, that's fine, but when do we get to go out into the courtyard? Because there's no more pain up here. This is going to be glorious, and I want to get to it. I have so many things to do in heaven. I don't even know what they are. But I'm going to be there. I mean, that whole thing with the saints being quiet, I like that. It's going to be a hoot and a pure one. Nothing about it will we won't feel guilty for having such a good time. You know, I don't know if you tell your, maybe if you've ever noticed your children eating like goats, I mean, just, you want to say, stop it. No one's going to take your food. Because, you know, and the child, is the child thinking, yeah, they might. This is just so good, I can't believe I'm allowed to eat it. And in heaven, we won't have that. In heaven, there'll always be one more piece of pie. Who got to it? Who got to the last piece? Anyway, at his coming, verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. If you know he's righteous, if you're a Gnostic, you don't know that. You're still all messed up because you're not submitting. But if you are a child of God, you are receiving the revelation because you know him. He's in your heart. It's the product of remaining with Christ. The product of remaining with Christ is you identify with him. You take on a resemblance to him. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, which is preceded by, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then after Peter says that, this is what they say. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they'd been with Jesus. What a beautiful picture. These men are dummies. They don't have degrees from us. Oh, wait a minute. They've been with Jesus. That's the sting we're feeling from his preaching, the truth. They've been with Jesus. What a compliment. Well, that's what we want, all of us. Instead of hiding our Christianity, afraid that, well, we might mess up in front of somebody, and we have to learn how to cut through that. And so are any of you struggling with sin and doubt your salvation? But you love the Lord? Don't doubt. That is grace at work. Satan can't get to you there. You're struggling. You're fighting it. The doubts come from hell. They come from a human type of logic, not a spiritual one. And this verse is an encouragement. There are many of them in the scripture. When he speaks about practice of righteousness, we'll never have absolute achievement of righteousness in this life. We'll have moments of it, long tracks even, but not to perfection of purity as Christ. Yet the determination to be like Christ, that is the perfection that God is looking for, that identity to be like Christ, coming from being attached to him. And so to be attached to him is to be attacked in your righteousness because you belong to him. And I close with this verse, the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. The ones that have a hunger and thirst for righteousness versus the ones that don't. And the Gnostics did not have it. And everybody knew. because they were covering up their sin with all of this gibberish, you know, talking loud and saying nothing.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.